Amen. Amen. It's good to see all of you, and good to be able to share another week of worship and another week of gathering around God's Word, and to continue our story as we have been looking at this theme of missing Christmas. So I want to ask you a question. Who do you call when you have great news? Think about it for a second. Who's your first phone call, your first text message, however you choose to communicate? When you have really great news to share, who's the first one you want to share it with? Is it a spouse? Is it a parent? Is it a family member? For some of you, maybe it's your best friend. They maybe live across the country, but it's the first person that you're going to call when you have great news. Are you thinking about that person? Are you thinking of them? Keep them in your head for a second. I'm willing to bet that none of you are thinking about some random stranger who bags groceries at Kroger, right? Unless they're your best friend, right? None of you are thinking of a person that you've never met before, right? No? All of you are thinking someone you've met before. Okay, all right. Probably somebody you have a pre-existing relationship with. Probably someone that is close to you that will share in the joy of the news, right? Rather than just be annoyed that you're bothering them in the middle of their day. I doubt that we're not likely to just stop a stranger on the street and say, "Good news, I'm pregnant." Right? That would seem odd. It would seem weird. That's a theological term I want you to learn. Weird, right? And it is odd. And the thing is, we're going to read a story in just a second about shepherds keeping watch in a field in the middle of the night, and they're interrupted by someone they've never met to tell them news about some people they've never met. And it's odd and a bit weird that the first people on earth to hear that Mary and Joseph have had their baby, at least from the scripture perspective, the first people to hear this are shepherds who have no relationship, who don't know these people, don't even quite understand what the big deal is, and if anything, are afraid to be interrupted in such a way. Missing Christmas is what we're looking at throughout this month. And if you were with us the first Sunday, we looked at Joseph, who almost missed Christmas because of his concern about the circumstances of his wife's pregnancy. And yet the angel, God speaks to him in a dream and lets him know that God has this bigger plan. And Joseph says, "Okay, then I'll marry her." The next week, we looked at the innkeeper and looked at how the innkeeper somehow misses out on this birth, either because he won't make room or he's too judgmental about Joseph and Mary's situation. The innkeeper misses out on this chance to share in this birth. And so today, we come to the point of the story where we look at these shepherds. I want to read to you a familiar passage. I mean, if you've been to any Christmas pageant or if you've watched, you know, the Charlie Brown Christmas special, you've heard this passage, right? Luke 2, and we're going to read the first half of it, verses 8 through 14. "In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you, that you will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." Anybody heard that passage before? If not, has anyone ever seen a shepherd that looks like this? This is a precious moments shepherd. And if you've never seen these things, come to my mom's house, because my mom has every precious moments figurine ever made. It's almost like if there's a spot in the house where something could go, she's going to go find a knickknack to put there, right? And so growing up, maybe you've seen shepherds in your nativities, or, you know, shepherds are often the easy group if you're doing a Christmas pageant with kids, because you can just put a whole bunch of bathrobes and little staffs and say, okay, all of you are the shepherds, right? So you just go over there on the side and don't knock anything over, right? And we had this vision of shepherds being kind of cute and cuddly and young and just kind of this precious moment kind of shepherd, which is great. Shepherds, I'm sure, were cute and cuddly at some point in their life, but they grew up to be probably less than cute and cuddly, because these were hardworking, salt-of-the-earth, blue-collar guys who spent the majority of their life outside with sheep. So think about it. Their hands were dirty. Their skin had been leathered by the sun. They probably had a distinct odor about them for their entire life, because they smelled like sheep. In fact, the real religiously orthodox people like the Pharisees and Sadducees, they often looked down upon the shepherds. Because even though the shepherds provided an essential service to care for the sheep, because of their having to deal with animals, they were very rarely religiously clean, so to speak. They couldn't do the hand washing that would require, particularly the Pharisees, who wanted you to wash your hands over and over and wash your cups ceremonially and get everything nice and clean and ritually pure. And so the really righteous religious people thought shepherds were just, you know, not only dirty, but not really the kind of people who followed the religious law all that well. Others thought that they were lazy, because if you ever passed a shepherd, you know what they were doing most of the day? Just sitting by a sheep, right? On the rare occasion that a sheep would go missing, they'd have to get up and go look for it, but most of the time, they just sat around. And so some people looked at them as lazy or dishonest, because sometimes the shepherd would take his sheep over to somebody else's field and they'd begin to graze on property they didn't belong to. So people looked down on the shepherds either because of their religious laziness or their vocational laziness. So shepherds are not the people that other people would think we should go run and tell important news to if something happened. Particularly if that something is the birth of the Messiah, the birth of a king. The shepherds would be the least likely people that we'd want to run and go tell this great news. And so when the glory of the Lord shows up in the middle of the night, and an angel appears out of nowhere, already we know that something is unexpectedly happening. Something is different than what we should expect. I do want to talk about this phrase, the glory of the Lord, just for a second. Because oftentimes we think, oh, angel. Well, so when the angel appears, this is good, this is great, this is wonderful, right? But let me tell you something. When the glory of the Lord shows up in the Bible, this is not just, oh, look at the pretty stars. The glory of the Lord is something that is both awe-inspiring and terror-inspiring. The glory of the Lord in Hebrew, the Kabod Adonai was the very and is the very presence of God. The glory of the Lord in the text is, in the Old Testament is what led the people out of Egypt. The glory of the Lord was represented by a cloudy pillar of day and a pillar of fire by night. The glory of the Lord was said to dwell in the Holy of Holies, in the center of the temple. The glory of the Lord signified that God is present. And here's the thing, we might get excited about that. But in Jesus' day, when the glory of the Lord showed up, we should be afraid. Because the belief was that if you were unrighteous or unclean, if you weren't sinless, you could not stand before the presence of God. You would be struck dead if God showed up and you weren't ready. So imagine these shepherds out in the field, hadn't been to temple in years, hadn't washed their hands in weeks, hadn't washed their clothes in months. And the glory of the Lord shows up. Their first thought is, we are dead men. Which is why the scripture says they are afraid. And the first word of the angel is, don't be afraid. Don't worry, calm down. It's going to be okay. You're not dead yet. Right? Now, the good news that they share with the shepherds can be summed up in three things. Three things that they tell them. The angel tells the shepherds, a Savior has been born in Bethlehem. Okay, good. I didn't know I needed saving. But a Savior has been born in Bethlehem. Second, this Savior is the Messiah. And that word Messiah, which some of your translations might say anointed one, that's the same word in Hebrew and then followed on in Greek. That's the same word for Hebrew king. The Messiah, the king, the Messiah, the anointed one. So this is a Savior who's been born. It's also a royal birth. The Messiah is the one who's going to come and to kick out King Herod and kick out the Romans and reestablish the throne of David. This is a royal decree. So a Savior's been born in Bethlehem, David's city. That child is the Messiah, the anointed one, the King of Israel. And third, this child is the Lord. This child is divine. And then before the shepherds can ask any questions, the angel gets a backup band. Not just anyone, it's the host of heaven, which is a scripture way of saying the army of the Lord, right? This choir shows up to stand with the angel and to praise God. That's quite a sight. Quite an interruption. Quite an unexpected bit of news from these people that these shepherds had never met. But it's good news. What the angel says, I'm going to bring you good news. A child has been born who is the Savior. A child has been born who is the King. A child has been born who is the Lord. But I want to pause there and ask, if you were a shepherd that night, what would you do? Because I want to point something out. Never in the scripture does the angel command the shepherds to do anything. They don't say, y'all should go to Bethlehem and see this thing. The angel doesn't say, y'all should bow down and worship. The angel doesn't even say, y'all should wash your hands and get ready. It's a baby. You don't want to mess up with the baby, right? The angel just announces the good news. The band kicks in and they sing a song. And the shepherds are left to figure out what they would do. So what would be the reasons for them to stay? I don't want to spoil it, but they end up going. But before they go, why would they stay? What would be a good reason for them to stay and to miss out on this Christmas? You know, honestly, the first thing is they still might be afraid. Maybe too afraid. Too afraid, right? Because remember what I told you? They've just had a near-death experience when the glory of the Lord shows up. And what the angel told them was that a king had been born, a heavenly army had shown up, and all that begins to sound like, oh, we're about to have a revolution. I don't know if I want to sign up for that. Because those shepherds, they knew, like everybody, that Herod did not like to be challenged. They knew that even if Herod could be beat, Herod worked for some other guy, the emperor. And the Romans, we could never defeat the Romans. So, honestly, the shepherds might have had a good reason to be too afraid to go get caught up in some sort of revolution that they knew couldn't succeed. It would be pointless to think that shepherds and a new baby could overthrow Herod and the Roman Empire. So why don't we just sit back down and pretend like nobody saw nothing? But the angel told them to not be afraid, so let's not worry about fear. What if they're just too busy? Too busy. How many of you have ever said, I'm just too busy? Right? How many said it this morning? Right? I'm just too busy. Too busy. You know, we have work to do, right? These shepherds, they've got work to do. Because let me tell you, they didn't own the sheep. They didn't own these sheep. Somebody else owned the sheep, and they worked for that somebody else. They had work to do. They had to keep the sheep from danger. They had to keep the sheep from being stolen. They had to keep the sheep from wandering away and getting lost. They had to protect the sheep from predators and wolves and other things that would come and steal the sheep. They had a job to do. They couldn't just quit in the middle of their day and traipse all the way over to Bethlehem. What would happen if the master decided to show up and just check on them? And there's no shepherd and all these sheep. Now, surely the baby will be there when I get off my shift, right? I'm just too busy. My work is too important to stop what I'm doing and to go see this baby. So maybe they're afraid, maybe they're too busy. But I also wonder if any of them thought that they're too ashamed. Too ashamed to go and see a Messiah. Because what if it is true? What if what the angel has said is true? That this Savior, this Messiah, is God? Is the Lord? If that's true, and surely I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to see him. All my life I've been told by the professional religious people that I'm not clean. I'm not righteous. I'm not pure. I'm just a lowly shepherd. I'm not anybody important enough. I'm not anybody worthy enough. I'm not lovable enough. I'm not honored enough. I'm not rich enough. I'm not whatever enough to be in the presence of the King of Israel, to be in the presence of a Savior, to be in the presence of the Lord. He'll never accept someone like me. So I imagine at least one of the shepherds thought they were too afraid or too busy or too ashamed. And I think too many people today end up missing the good news of Christmas because they're too afraid of making a change in their life. Or they're too busy to make faith and spiritual life a priority. But I also think a lot of people are just too ashamed. Convinced by others or themselves that God won't love them. That God won't forgive them. That God won't accept them. After all that I've done in my life, all the mistakes that I've made, all of the bad decisions that have led me here, there's no way that God can be that loving and forgiving, right? But let's see what the shepherds do. In verse 15, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. So the shepherds take the risk. They drop their fear. They drop their excuses. They drop any sense of shame. And they go to see Jesus. They leave their sheep and end up meeting a shepherd. And their response, did you notice their response? They sing, they praise, and they tell everybody who would listen the good news. The good news that a Savior has been born. The good news that He is the King. And the good news that He is the Lord. That's worthy of calling your friends, calling your family. It's worth interrupting your day and sharing the good news with others. Even a stranger on the street who can see you be joyful and excited to share them the good news that there is a God who loves you, who wants to save you, who wants to rule in your heart in peace. That's worth calling a friend. It's worth sharing at Kroger. At the very least, it's worth believing in your own heart the message of the angel for you, that for you has been born a Savior. Don't miss that good news this Christmas. Let's pray. God, we're grateful for all the blessings that you give to us, and we're grateful for holy interruptions. We're grateful that you don't take our excuses, that we're too busy, we're too afraid, we're too ashamed to share the good news that you're alive, that your love and your mercy and your forgiveness is available to all. So in this Christmas season, help us, like the shepherds, to journey anew to Bethlehem, to see this great gift, and help us to share the news to everyone we meet. In His name we pray. Amen. As we sing our final hymn this morning, I want to invite you, each and every Sunday you can do this, but sometimes I forget to invite you. If God has been speaking to you and speaking to your heart about making a next step in faith, whether that's to join us and transferring your membership from a sister congregation to join us here at First United. Maybe the commitment is to say yes to Jesus for the first time, that you want to say, I want to follow that Lord. Maybe you've done that and it's just been a while and you want to say yes again, and you want to do it publicly. We'd always love to celebrate that with you and to welcome you here as a member, as a fellow shepherd, staring up at the night sky, saying, that's some great news. So as we sing, if God has moved on your heart, we'd love to have you come forward and celebrate that at the end of our service.